Okay, final hour of open lines for you. This coming Friday, at least the first hour before we go into our open lines, I'm going to have a Twilight Zone extravaganza for you. We've got Mark Zakri on. He's an expert in the Twilight Zone. He's written a book called The Twilight Zone Companion. And also Billy Mumy will be our guest. Remember Billy? He was in one of the episodes when he was a little kid, when he used to wish people into the cornfield. Billy will be coming back. And we're going to have a little fun also next Friday, because what we'll do is play some clips from various Twilight Zone episodes. You, those of you with computers and Fast Blast, everybody can have Fast Blast. You just go and hook yourself up to it. But I'm going to give out us, you know how we get books from all our guests and we keep them. And if I don't give them away, I will be buried in them eventually. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to have a little contest. Some of you who are the first Fast Blasters to get to us with the answer of whatever Twilight Zone that particular clip was from, we'll get you some books. And it's absolutely free. It's kind of our way of saying thank you for listening to Coast, but we'll have some fun. That'll be next Friday before open lines. And our somniphobia, fear of sleeping or going to bed line, 818-817-0021. So we've got open lines for you for the rest of this hour before I head off for my weekend, soon to return on Monday. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
George?
Yes, sir. Hi.
Hey, I'm calling from Boulder, Colorado. My name's Dustin. I had a couple things for you.
Can I ask you this first, Dustin? I want to keep you for a little bit. Boulder, of course, been in the news over the last week with this situation of JonBenet Ramsey. What do most of the people out there say about this situation and this guy?
You know what? From what I can tell, there's not too much talk about it. I mean, there's a lot of media and things around. I'm sure it'll pick up more. But, I mean, everybody's kind of normal about their lives. Right now, who knows, you know, if things really get carried away. It could be another OJ trial or something. But
yeah, well, his family doesn't think he did it. They contend that he was with his family on that Christmas day and night. So we'll have to see what happens. But go ahead. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, I listened to your show, and I love it. And I can't wait till Monday, because actually there's a lot of good stuff you have on, and I am an Indigo child myself.
Oh, are you?
Yeah, so it's going to be good, and I'd love to talk with Robin. The thing I wanted to discuss with you, because I know you have a lot of connections, is black holes. And up until the past month, I mean, within the last month, they just do not exist anymore.
Well, what do you mean? What do you mean they don't exist anymore?
Well, basically, on another dimension, a black hole is like a portal that captures or releases energy throughout the universe.
Sure.
And things are just evolving so fast that they just do not exist anymore. They just kind of closed up, and I'm sure, I mean, it's nothing you'd hear on CNN, but I'm sure you have a lot of contacts with people that would look into that.
Well, the metaphysicians may agree with you. I'm not so sure the astronomers would.
Well, I mean, the only way that an astronomer could actually see one is what it sucks in, and that just would not exist now.
I wonder what Stephen Hawking would say about this, the great physicist.
Yeah, I don't know. It's
How do you know this? I mean, is this a feeling you have, or what?
Well, no, I mean, it's just information that I have that's it's kind of hard to explain. I mean, it is information I get or know or see. It's just
how do you get it? Like telepathically?
I don't even know what the definition of telepathically would be. It's just...
Well, let me rephrase it.
Just a knowing, basically.
I was going to say, this is information that is just known to you. You just, like, know it.
Well, yeah, I mean, when you can basically have a feeling, and everybody has that feeling, and everybody gets more... Everybody, every day, is getting more in touch with themselves.
Interesting.
Just the way...
Well, why do you think these black holes have sealed themselves up?
Well, basically, it has a lot to do with things that are changing. I mean, you could go back, and I think it's like a human experiment to give other people, give a lot of a little people all the power for not very many people. Do you kind of get what I'm saying?
No, I'm not, but I want to find out. So I'm, let's keep up with
okay.
this.
It's basically how, I don't, you can call it what you, Illuminati, demons. Basically how they perceive to get into our reality was through black holes and other forms of energy. I mean, you talk a lot about demons, but basically what exists now is called, and it comes a lot with thought form and people, but it's like a new earth. And that's just the
so
way things
you,
are changing.
Are you basically saying that it's the human mind, the human psyche, that creates whether these black holes open or close?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, 100%.
And,
I mean,
and so we're responsible for them closing now, you're saying?
Oh, absolutely. Every person, regardless if they know it or not, in some form, is responsible for that.
Is that a good or bad thing that they've closed
definitely
up?
Definitely a good thing. I mean, you hear a lot on your show about people who talk about, you know, the end of the world coming, and that's just, it's things are just going nothing but positive, and they own, that's the only way they can.
I mean, you are one of the first and few people to think things are going great. That's pretty positive.
Well, I mean, of course there's obstacles, but, and there's free will choice, and any time things can change. I mean, things change, and at this point in time, things are changing every day so fast that, it's pretty awesome, actually.
I'll tell you what, next time I get an astronomer on the air, I'll ask him about this and see what he says. And I don't think he's going to agree with you, though. Not on the black holes getting sealed up. I think they're still out there sucking up everything in their way. Let's go next to our sleep phobia line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, this is Carrie calling from the Seattle area.
Hi, Carrie. So you have somniphobia?
Oh, I didn't even know that there was a name for it, and it's kind of comforting to know that. But I think I'm pretty much the prototype. It's weird. There's nothing demonic like some of the other callers have mentioned. I'm not afraid of a demon entering my house or anything like that. It's just really, I feel like it's the only time I can really be safe and be alone and control my environment. And I have a fear of being non-productive. And then, you know, the anxiety, which is inevitable when you start becoming sleepless, you know, that feeds it. That feeds your fear of being non-productive. So I'm always doing something.
I got to tell you, there's nothing worse than being in bed and you can't sleep.
It's true.
I mean, you just go on and on. I mean, it drives you nuts.
I know. And I tell you that Sleep Number bed, it comes on, it always sounds so alluring, but
well, I gotta tell you that it does work for me, and my sleep number, by the way, is 90, in case you want to know.
90. Maybe I'll have to give that a try, but it's good. It's comforting, I think, to know that there's other people out there that are also not just night owls. I get tired of people saying that, oh, you know, you're burning the midnight oil. No, I'm not just burning it. I burned it out, and then I'm functioning. I'm fine. I'm still going on living my daily life. That's what I think people don't understand.
And during the daytime, you're okay, I bet.
Yes, I am.
All right, so the show ends in another hour or two, depends. A lot of stations do a refeed. Sometimes we're on the air for 7 or 8 hours because of that. But when will you generally go to sleep, and how long will you fade away for?
I may not sleep at all if I get tired. If I really do get tired, I have to kind of remind myself so I don't lose it, and I'll take maybe a couple-hour nap.
Do you dream at all?
Yeah, I do. Lately, I have been. I've been dreaming about that crazy Satan wannabe from Iran,
that's also
real alluring. I'd much rather be.
Interesting title for him, the Satan wannabe.
Clearly, he needs to get something else going on. I don't think he's the Antichrist, but it's a good look for him.
Did you hear today he said that he'd sacrifice at least half of Iran just to take out and destroy Israel.
It's disgusting.
Meanwhile, they're still building their nuclear program. So anyway, we got to figure out how to get you to sleep. How are we going to do that? I think she fell asleep. I do. Hello, wake up. She's gone. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi there.
Yeah, this is Dan from Indianapolis.
Hi, Dan.
How you doing?
Good.
I fell asleep a little bit. I missed your comment, or I got the tail end of your comments just about your calcium score.
Yeah.
And this is something that's bugged me to death for years. I had my a heart scan about 6 years ago, and I had a point of 75, a score of 75.
Just 75?
Yes, but then I had it done.
That's great.
Well, I had it done a little over 3 years ago, and it was 466.
So now that's over. That's considered high, by the way. Anything over 400 is considered high.
Right, and at that rate, I imagine now it's about 2,000. But my cholesterol is only about 130 or 140, and my HDL and LDL is good. And they always want you to take a statin drug. And I'm trying to avoid that.
Well, you know, one of the reasons they probably want you to take a statin drug as well, it's always great to do this thing, if you can, naturally, is
exactly.
they're saying that the statins help break down the calcium.
Right.
And maybe that's what they need.
But I don't need a lower cholesterol.
This local L.A. doctor tells me that calcium increases by 20 to 30% every year.
Really?
So if you're at 200, you'll be at 240, 250.
Right. Right.
If you're at 500 or if you're at 1,000, you'll
right.
be at 1,200, and it just keeps going up and
exactly.
up and up. He has seen someone. He had a patient, he said, that had one over 3,000.
Right.
And she went on this program, and she's down to like 800.
Well, what program is it, George?
Well, it's I'll tell you what. Let me give you a website. Do you have a computer?
Yes.
And I'll probably do a follow-up story with Douglas Mulhall, but just go to calciumbomb.com.
C-A-L-C-I-U-M.
Yep. Bomb, B-O-M-B.
One word.
Yep. Calciumbomb.com.
.com.
Just put them all together.
Oh, good.
Okay?
I really appreciate
it. I'll have my results next week.
What, on your website?
Yeah, I may put them on my website. I don't know if I want to do that. I've already put my whole health laundry out for everybody.
Well, I'd be interested. I've contacted people all over the world trying to resolve this.
Most doctors, regular practitioners, cardiologists, don't believe in this.
Exactly.
And we'll find out, because it has turned around for my arteries in the neck, and I got to believe that it's worked on the arteries in your heart.
Right.
And I'll find out, because 980 is pretty darn high.
It is high. And so you're going to get another scan then.
I did. I got the scan this week.
Oh, okay.
So I'll get the results next week, and I'll report. There's a brand new machine out. The old one, they called it. It's a 5 minute test. It's quick.
Right. Exactly.
First one was like a 16 slice, they call it.
Right.
And not that they don't slice you. And
right.
this one's now 64. And you go in for 5 minutes. You lay down, and then this machine talks to you, and it just goes around you real fast, and it's done.
But it's $400.
Yes, it is, and insurance doesn't pick it up.
No, it doesn't.
No, but it's worth it.
Yeah.
If you can afford it.
I know.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
I'll put my results on, and all will know how I'm doing. And let's hope it's under 980, because if it's over that, I'll be checking out soon. And then I'll report back to you from the hereafter. That'll be an interesting show. Wildcard Line, you're up. It's Coast to Coast time. Hi there.
Hi.
Yeah.
This is Ashley.
Hi, Ashley.
I got StreamLink today.
Oh, congratulations.
My birthday's on Tuesday, and I picked that out for one of my birthday presents.
Welcome to the family. You're going to love it.
I do already.
Good.
But I was calling because of the sleep phobia.
Yeah. Thing. You have this?
Yes, I do. I have just horrible problems getting to sleep. Sometimes before I'm trying to fall asleep laying in bed, and I'll end up just paralyzed, can't move, can't talk, can't even, call for help or anything, and it's just so frightening. And then a lot of the time, I have nightmares, and just recently one of my good friends passed away. It was in May, and that hasn't helped it at all. He was only... he's a little bit younger than I am, and I'll be 26 on Tuesday.
Oh, my God. What happened to him?
They say it was something with his heart. He had some sort of heart problem, and his heart just gave out one night.
He had no indications that he had problems, did he?
Well, like a week before, he was complaining about it, and he said he was going to go to the hospital, but I don't think he ever went. I don't think he really thought it was serious.
Yeah, you know what? People are afraid to be told that they have a problem. I don't know why.
That's really true.
Yeah.
It is.
If you suspect something, go in there, get it done. Just get it done.
Yeah. I would recommend that to everyone that thinks that, you know, even if it doesn't seem very big at the time, it could be.
I guess people just don't want the news.
Yeah, but if they get it, you know, maybe there's time to do
something
about it.
You know, fix it.
Yeah.
We're like cars. You got to maintain them. You got to take care of yourself.
Exactly. Yeah, I've had problems sleeping ever since I was very, very small. And, I mean, going to bed at night, it's almost like torture for me because it just seems like when you're asleep, you're just helpless. Someone could sneak up on you or...
Is that what scares you? You think someone's going to jump in and jump on you or something?
Well, that and a lot of the times, you know, when you have shows about alien abductions...
Yeah.
That scares me a lot.
Well, we have been known to scare people.
I'm a little afraid of getting abducted, although I don't know if it probably won't ever happen to me.
Well, just think about this. If you do, you may not remember it.
That's true.
Think of the bright side on that.
I just think it'd be, you know, just incredibly frightening to wake up with something, you know, around your bed or whatever in the middle of the night.
Yeah, it hasn't happened to you yet, has it?
Well, I had one experience where I, you know, the sleep paralysis, and I wasn't asleep, and I couldn't move, and there was just this evil-feeling presence in my room. It just felt like there was something just horribly wrong, something demonic around me, and I still don't know what it is. I don't think I'll ever know.
Well, have you noticed this? Most of the calls that have come in on this phobia, other than I think one, the guy who sleeps in his van, most of the calls have been from women about this.
Yeah, I haven't heard. There was a little bit. I went for a walk. I had to walk a friend home. But, yeah, I had noticed that a lot of the calls are from women.
They have more of the phobia. You know, it's a very unscientific poll, I'll tell you. But it is weird. Most of my women callers have got somniphobia.
Well, men are more able maybe to protect themselves if they were to be
attacked by
a person. I don't think that there's any difference if you're attacked by something otherworldly, maybe, but just a regular old person attacker.
Well, what's amazing too is how many people have this fear.
Yeah, I feel a little bit better knowing that I'm not, you know, the only one that has this problem.
Far from that. I gotta believe that there must be millions of people with this.
Well, like the other lady said, you know, I didn't even know there was a word for it at all.
Yep, got it now. S-O-M-N-I phobia.
Well, I had no idea that there was even a word.
Okay, hey, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. I'm glad you're a new StreamLink member. Enjoy that. Don't forget, you can also get podcasting in the morning in case you do go to bed. Then you can just set your computer up and you'll have the program waiting for you when you wake up. When I come right back, we'll continue with final phone calls, another rapid night. You know, the whole year is going by fast. I can't believe it. Next week, next Friday, September 1st already? Unbelievable. I'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. I think time is speeding up. I really do, because it's not just because people get older. I think time is speeding up because these years are clicking by faster than that time machine and that old movie. I'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. You know, talk about time going by fast. Discovery, the space shuttle Discovery, they just finally got that up there and back. And now on Sunday, Atlantis goes up there. Richard C. Hoagland on the line, our science advisor, head of the Enterprise Mission.com. Richard, this sounds awfully fast, doesn't it?
This is actually the normal turnaround. We're out of the so-called does it fly, will it fly mode and back into construction mode. And so this turnaround, remember, Atlantis was being prepped to be on the pad as a rescue spacecraft for
Discovery.
So they were doing parallel processing. So this turnaround actually is not unexpected at all, given that everything kind of broke in the right way, and they got it to the pad, and they're going to launch in a day and a half now.
So the concerns for Discovery, which they fixed, do you think they were fixing Atlantis as well, foam, all that at the same time?
Well, we basically know, except for these frost ramps, which are a long-term problem they want to redesign, the same tank design has been modified for Atlantis as it was for Discovery. So you'll be seeing a launch on Sunday afternoon about 4:30 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. That is a carbon copy of the Discovery launches of the previous one and the one before that because of the modified tank foam and all that. The main thing I'm going to be watching was the pristine flight of STS-121, the last mission.
Right.
Was it a, you know, real normalcy now? Are we back to shuttle flying where we can kind of take a deep breath and relax a bit? Or was it one of those incredible lucky flukes and we will have problems on 115 Atlantis that we shouldn't have?
Okay, well, we'll check with you on Monday night. Of course, you'll do your observations for us, and let's see where we stand at that point.
4:30 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, Sunday afternoon.
That's the launch.
Live on NASA TV, probably live on CNN. Take a look. It's one of the last shuttle missions you're ever going to see.
All right, Richard, thank you. Appreciate it. Richard C. Hoagland, EnterpriseMission.com. By the way, he's putting on an incredible conference in October at Joshua Tree, California. You can get that information by going to his website. Back to the phones we go. East of the Rockies, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello?
Yes, sir. Good morning.
Hi. This is Sean from Norfolk, Virginia.
Yes, Sean.
Yes, I've got two questions for you real
quick. Okay, sure.
I was wondering if you're familiar with the Spring-Heeled Jack character.
Oh, absolutely. Our dear friend Lionel Fanthorpe, who gives us some incredible stories, has told us about Spring-Heeled Jack. That's really the first I got to know about this. That's an incredible story.
Oh, yes. Supposedly it took place in the UK, probably a few years shy of the Jack the Ripper murders.
Exactly. Exactly.
And I guess a lot of people, you know, maybe try to make the correlation. They could be one in the same type deal.
Well, and this guy, though, had the ability to spring, to jump, like, incredible heights to get away from people.
Yeah, and he's something with glowing orbs from, you know, his facial orifices as
yep,
well.
Absolutely.
And my second question is, I believe it was based on the movies, as far as what I perceive, the Philadelphia Experiment.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure of the time frame. I was wondering if any surviving members from that carrier ship, if there are still strange happenings.
There is an individual that we have interviewed in the past, Art has and I have, named Al Bielek, who's up in age and his health is failing. But he claims that he was on that ship and has had some incredible stories. And maybe time to revisit Mr. Bielek, or, you know, maybe on our next rerun of our shows, pull that out, because it's an incredible story.
Oh, yeah, it's just pretty eerie, you think about it.
He would talk about how some of the sailors were half in and half out of a ship. Their bodies, like, were kind of, like, melted in to the ship. Just incredible.
Yeah, it's definitely something I heard the gentleman earlier talking about, you know, the black hole deal, and that kind of made me think about the fourth dimension that supposedly, you know, is out there.
Yeah, we'll check in with Mr. Bielek, see how he's doing. Hey, thanks for the calls. Appreciate it. The Spring-Heeled Jack story, though, absolutely staggering. And Lionel, of course, comes on a couple times a year. Greatest storyteller ever made. Wildcard Line, you're on the air with us on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi there.
Welcome to the show. Good morning.
Good morning. Well, I'm mess up and didn't get the number for the sleep phobia line, so ended up on the wild card line.
Oh, that's okay. You know, when I give out a special hotline, that's just for that topic.
Sure.
But if you want to talk about that topic, you can still call any other line.
Well, I was glad to find that out.
Yes.
And I was glad to get through.
You're okay.
So I certainly do have that issue. I think the reasons for it in my case have kind of morphed and changed over the years. I'm in my 50s, and I think some of the early reasons for that phobia started as a result of what I believe was some kind of abduction experience. However, that was in my early 20s, and yet I've been a total night owl all my life, as far back as I can remember. I can remember as a very young kid going to sleep with a radio under my pillow and, you know, then being sleep deprived during the day at school. So, you know, I'm not sure what was going on in childhood, okay? But there was an experience in my early 20s, and then there were some other experiences that for a long time I put in the category of dreamlike that I have come over the years to change my feelings about. And then I also have some what I think might be recovered memories that may also explain some of my fear. I think that my abduction experiences might not just be extraterrestrial. I certainly don't fall into the category of the classic ET abductee in any way, shape, or form.
No, now what do you mean by they may not be extraterrestrial? What possibilities here?
I think I have had contact with, I've had UFO experiences. I had an abduction experience with another person in my early 20s that I cannot definitively explain as a UFO experience because it involved missing time and ending up somewhere else, but it's the closest thing I can come to explaining what happened, okay? Now, after that experience, I have had I used to consider them nightmares or dreams that I have over the years come to think might not be dreams, where there have been actual intruders into my home, and I have been taken in the night.
So no wonder you're petrified to go to sleep.
There's also health issues.
What do you mean?
Oh,
what do you mean?
Well, I've been sick most of my life. I was sick as a child a lot. In fact, I was born premature and, you know, in the hospital for weeks after birth. So I've been sick since I was conceived, probably.
A little preemie you were.
I was, yeah, like 4 pounds. And so, you know, there's a lot, as I say, my fears of sleeping only really became, I only became aware of them in my early 20s after that experience that I described as a UFO experience. I don't have an explanation for why I was such a night owl as a child.
Well, so what do we do to get rid of these fears?
Oh, gosh, there's no answer for that. I mean, truly, it's just a matter of coping and finding a way to make sure that I get enough sleep in one way or another to continue to function.
I am going to get an expert on the show who, his last name is Lyndon, and I am going to get him to talk about this because so many of you have this problem. Maybe he can help because he's supposed to be able to help people go to sleep, and that would be dramatic. First-time caller line, good morning. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, this is Tony from Minnesota. How are you, George?
Hi, Tony. Welcome. Thanks.
I wanted to call and see if you, you know, have ever heard of this before, but I had an experience happen to me last year. I was out at the bar doing a normal thing type of deal, and all of a sudden I just got this weird, eerie feeling like I was in trouble. You know, it was just like you were getting pulled over or something. And so I went out to my car, and it was about 9 o'clock on Sunday night, I absolutely froze. Couldn't move for like 3 hours. Sat there, didn't realize what was going on. All of a sudden I was able to go, and I started driving home, and the moon was an absolute spotlight, just as bright as a spotlight, coming down to the earth. I didn't know where it was. I followed it. I ended up, it was oddly enough, it was actually, I ended up in my brother's house, and all of a sudden, the moon started spinning, and there were three faces, and there were there was a face of a lion. There were a couple of different men, one that you couldn't really decipher. It was just so different than, like, a young man. And then I fell to my knees. I don't know what came over me, but I just, like, immediately felt this love, and I fell to my knees, and this was at about 12:30, and I sat there and prayed, and you know, all that good stuff for a few hours. And about 4:30 in the morning, all of a sudden the moon started to descend down.
Are you sure this was the moon you were looking at? How do you know it wasn't like a craft?
I'm absolutely positive. I sat on my hands and knees looking at it spinning for.
There's no way. It's impossible.
I know, but it happened. Even, you know, I wouldn't even probably believe it myself, but when the moon descended down, it actually...
What day was this? I didn't see it.
It was Sunday night, June 27th. It would be Monday morning, I guess, June 27th after midnight. But I can't explain it. All I can tell you is, like, after it happened, it descended down, like the Holy Ghost, kind of like how the Bible says, you know, it descends down as a dove type of deal. But... all of a sudden, this beautiful face that I took as Jesus, all of a sudden, it started coming down. I was scared shitless, but yet, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say that on the radio, but scared out of my mind, and all of a sudden, the face got real close, or the moon got real close, and it just turned to this most beautiful, but yet most scary thing I'd ever seen, with red eyes. I started screaming, and I was outside, of course, and my brother and my nephew, 3 years old, woke up instantly, you know, came outside. They thought somebody was dying. It was just an incredibly, I don't know, it was just so scary.
Well, I got to tell you, I don't know what happened to you, but in this particular case, everybody in this room says it wasn't the moon, so something else must have been going on with you. Next up, let's go to our wild card line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hello there.
Well, hi, George. How you doing?
Good, sir.
You know, I've listened to your show and Art's show for, since the late 80s. I've been a truck driver and spent like 31 years driving, and this is my time of day.
Me too. We're so used to this. I don't think I could function, you know, in any other time period.
Yeah, I had something happen to me, though, about, let's see. It was just before you actually started work for Art, and I noticed that the Afterglow magazine, you had a little bio on you and a picture and all that. And I was that kind of struck me there at as a time stop. But I was driving, and one night about between 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning, it was real cloudy, but it was summer night, real pleasant, and just driving, just listening to the radio, and all of a sudden, a humongous bright light just stared down at me. And I thought, wow. And I pulled over to the side of the road real fast, shut everything down, and I didn't hear a single thing. The light was so intense, it looked like heat waves. And then after that, I noticed that my health was starting to go downhill. And it wasn't a matter of 2 years before I couldn't pass my physical anymore. And I was losing my eyesight, and they told me that I now have diabetes, and there has been no diabetes in my family.
That's weird. Do you think this had something to do with it, or just, well, you know, I don't believe in coincidences.
Oh, no, I don't either. But, you know, I really can't say, and I'm a realist. I got to see something tangible. Like, do you remember, maybe you don't remember, but when Art had that show, when the Phoenix lights were there?
Absolutely.
I saw that, and I'm a realist, and I'm thinking, whoa, you know, I can't explain it, and I'm not going to say if it was extraterrestrial or not, because I don't know. That's why I call it unidentified.
All we know is it was something, whatever it was.
Yeah, and I've seen a lot. You just don't have the time for me to talk like that.
It sounds like you're a whole show all by yourself. And again, I got to tell you, time is speeding up, folks. I don't know where it's going. But what could be seconds, it might be going twice as fast, at least in our heads, because these nights keep just clicking along. I just can't believe it. Well, it's time to end our Friday night with our little traditional song from UFO Phil, who I am told is going to pop into Los Angeles in another week or two to say hello. So maybe we'll put him on, and maybe we won't.
Well, I never knew I had Martians in my garden, and I never knew there were aliens on my roof. I got shadow people, and they're living in my basement. Got a funny feeling Bigfoot's gonna be here soon. I was so blind before, I was so unaware, but now I swear I'm seeing Sasquatch over there. I turned on my radio in the middle of the night, and I heard things I need to know. Now I can see the light, and I also see a ghost. Well, you never knew that your baby was a hybrid, but as he grew, you began to see the clues. Now you know the signs, 'cause you learned it from George Norrie. Even while you sleep, you got Martians watching you. I turned on my radio in the middle of the night, and I heard things I need to know. And I can see the light,
and those of you who can't sleep, well, just continue to stay up and listen to the refeed for most of our stations. Those of you who can go to bed, have a great night. Art Bell and Ian Punnett this weekend. I'll see you on Monday. For Kiris Coburn, Dan Galante, Steve Carr, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasseur, Ross Mitchell, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie. Somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM, we'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.